scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 28 through 30. And I imagine the majority of us can quote these scriptures. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
It's good to see some folks that we haven't seen in a while, and while it may seem like it, it's times like this, especially looking back and seeing Bina in her place, in that seat in the back, it's like all things is right with the world. And we're grateful that she's able to be with us this morning. And we also need to rejoice on Tuesday afternoon. Little Austin Maddox became a permanent part of the Maddox family, with their adoption being completed and signed by the judging court. And we are grateful for that, and we need to rejoice in that. You know, we don't always see the problems that stress brings into our lives. More often than not, stress has a major impact on our self-confidence. And that is the reason why we include these in those things that can be detrimental to a healthy self-confidence. Statistics say that 75% of the general population experiences some kind of significant stress every 2 weeks. Up to 90% of primary care doctors report that they treat self-related complaints and disorders every day. Over half of the occupational turnovers in our labor force are stress-related. And you add these things to what's going on in our nation, in our personal lives, it is no wonder that we are stressed out. Controlling our stress has a major impact on a healthy self-esteem. It allows us to live that good life that Jesus came to provide and make possible. But do the scriptures say anything about stress? It certainly does, but the only thing is you will not find the word stress, but it's there. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, Isaiah tells us that Jesus will be a wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace. Paul writes in Philippians 4 and verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Solomon in Proverbs 14 and verse 6, he says, a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh. And Jesus himself in John 14, verse 27, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. In the scriptures that Barney read this morning, Jesus gives us an answer to our stress. And when we look at the life of Christ, we can't help but be amazed at how cool, calm, and collected Jesus was in spite of the pressures and the criticism and with being bombarded each and every day with other people's problems, of being misunderstood and misjudged. And yet, throughout his life, it reflects a calm sense of balance. How can that be? What is it about Jesus' life that made him so stress resistant. And if we look very carefully at the scriptures, we'll find six statements of which Jesus reflects a strategy, if you will, for reducing the stress in our own lives. Unless we settle the issue of who and whose we are, we're going to be a target for stress. I counted 18 times in Scripture that Jesus is found defining himself and who he is. I and the Father are one. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the Son of God. I am the Messiah. I am the good shepherd, the door, and the vine. In John 8 and verse 18, Jesus says, I am the one who bears witness about myself. And the Father who sent me bears witness about me. All this simply means is that Jesus didn't depend on other people, their opinions, to validate who Jesus was. And for the most part, that is not us. And if we don't settle the issue of identity, others will settle it for us. When this happens, we're going to find ourselves pulled in many directions, and we will end up becoming stressed. We'll find ourselves not being who we are meant to be at all, but rather what we think our family, our friends, our bosses, our co-workers, those that we are trying to impress, or even our enemies will try to determine who we ought to be. We cannot enjoy life like this. And we are going to be forever trying to be someone or something that we are not. God does not want copies or clones. God wants us to be who he created us and gifted us to be. When we compare ourselves with someone else, we create problems for ourselves. Listen to what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. A very profound statement is found in verse 12. Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. And you just see how unwise and stressful this behavior can be. For in Romans 12 and verse 2, Paul admonishes us not to allow the world to squeeze us into its mold. And while we're here, there's something else that we need to settle. We must come to the realization and understanding that we are not the ideal, perfect people. And we never will be. And we must accept this truth. We must value it. We must appreciate it. And we must learn to walk and to work with it. We must not be overwhelmed with trying to be absolutely perfect, because we will never be absolutely perfect. None of us. This is what the forgiveness through the blood of Christ is all about. And when we settle these two issues within ourselves, we'll reduce our stress and we will enhance our self-esteem. And closely related to this is that we must decide who we are trying to please. Can you imagine just how much stress we go under when we try to please everybody? We can't do that. Now, some of us will learn this early in life, and others of us, it'll take a lot longer. But it is especially important for preachers and ministers. Preachers must just preach the truth as best as they can determine it to be, and let the word of God fall as God intended. Preachers are not responsible for what we do with the word. Their job's to preach the truth, and it is our job to apply it. One of the greatest myths that causes a lot of stress today is that we have to be like everybody else in order to be happy. That's not true. We don't have to act like anybody. Jesus, he settled the issue in John 5 and verse 30. He says, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. Did you get that? Jesus came to live for an audience of one. An audience of one. His life focus was on pleasing God, doing God's will. And two things happen when we focus on God. First, doing what God wants is always right, regardless of what others think or want. And two, it simplifies our lives, because we only have to focus on pleasing one individual, not everybody else. One of the reasons why Jesus was seldom stressed was because he never let the fear of rejection or the need for approval manipulate him. Whose approval are we depending on for our self-confidence? Are we trying to live up to an image that others may think we ought to be? And if we're trying to please somebody other than Christ, we really need to sit back and start thinking about making a change. We must know that we're here to accomplish something. Life is guided either by priorities or by pressures. And if we do not set priorities, we're going to be guided by pressures. We can look at it this way. Priorities are what we believe God wants us to be and to do. And pressures is what the world wants us to be and do. The Bible teaches that God has some things he wants each of us to accomplish in life. There are some works that he has predestined for us to do. And he makes it very clear. Paul clears in Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 10, Paul says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, or predestined, that we should walk in them. So what's it going to be? Will it be God's priorities, or is it going to be the world's pressures? Well, President Eisenhower, on his desk, he had two baskets. And one of those baskets said urgent, and the other said important. And his habit was to always ignore the urgent for about 2 days. Then he said that half of those in that urgent basket will go away. Because they were urgent, they weren't important. How many times do we think that something is urgent, and then the next day we can't remember what it was? In that very moment, the things might have been urgent, but in reality, they weren't really important at all. What were Jesus' priorities? I came to do the will of my Father who sent me. I came to seek and save the lost. I came to call the sinner to repentance. I came to serve and not to be served. Does this sound like Jesus knows what he was here to accomplish? Jesus lived a purpose-driven life. How much purpose-driven life do we live? Or are we guided by what is happening around us? How can we find an answer to what purpose is driving our life? One, do we seek the approval of others? Do we need to make more money? Do we seek to gain power within the family or at work or in the church? Are we trying to keep up with the Joneses? Every single one of these are weak motives, weak drives, and weak purposes, and they all lead to stress. Self-esteem is enhanced when we know what we are here for. Many of us are stressed because we think we have to do it all by ourselves. The great American myth. If you want the job done right, do it yourself. The great American myth. You know what that is? That's the thinking of a perfectionist headed for a burnout. Think of the egotism behind that statement. The only one who does anything right in the world is me. Now, if there was anyone who had the right to say that, it was Jesus. But even Jesus did not try to do it all by himself. He appointed 12 others. He even let them in charge of the kingdom when he went home. He sent out 70. When Matthias was chosen to replace Judas, there was 120 disciples there. Jesus got others involved in his ministry, and he still does. The Great Commission is ours. We are his hands and feet. In other words, we are his workers for today. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, Paul writes, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us." You know, friends, there are nearly 100 one another passages in the Bible. Care for one another, encourage one another, help one another, share with one another, bear one another's burdens, pray for one another, confess your faults one to another, and on and on. We realize that this church right here in this place in Malden has enough potential to care for every need we have if we will just lean on one another. When we do that, we will find that our stress level will go down and our self-confidence will go up. Prayer, my friends, is a tremendous stress reliever. It is a stress buster. It's almost like that decompression chamber that they put divers who are suffering the bends, put them in to relieve the pressure and the bubbles in the blood. It's a way that we can unload our burdens. Prayer makes that bumpy road a lot smoother. As James reminds us in James 5 and verse 16, the prayers of the righteous are effective, or as the King James says, avails much. Have you ever noticed that no matter how busy Jesus was, he always took the time to pray? Look in Luke chapter 5, in verses 15 and 16. Jesus getting cranked up on his ministry. And it says, but even now more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities, but he would withdraw to desolate places to pray. Friends, if Jesus needed time alone to pray, when he was busy, when he was overwhelmed, or maybe even when he was a little bit stressed, shouldn't we do the same thing? We need time alone with God. Whether it's reading, sitting and reading his word for a little bit, or maybe taking a time to reflect or to recharge and to renew or to pray. Someone once said that most of man's problems come from the inability to sit still. And when we do sit still, what are we doing? We're worrying. We're building our stress levels up. This is not getting done. That's not getting done. What about tomorrow? We're not sitting still and spending time with God. Now, even God said to David in Psalm 46 and verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Be still. When was the last time we sat still for 5 minutes and just thought about God? You know, a lot of us wake up in the morning to an alarm clock. You catch that? An alarm clock. We start our day in a state of alarm. We turn on the TV. We turn on the radio. We read the newspaper. We get on the internet. We live in a state of alarm all day long. We go from one alarming event to another. And you wonder why we're stressed. Here's the alternative. Get up in the morning. Leave the TV off. Leave the radio talk shows alone. Don't read the newspaper. Don't enter any chat rooms. You know what you're going to realize? That this world is going to go on whether or not we know what's going on. Don't get mad at this, but most of what is going on around us today is just not worth knowing about. It isn't. And the one thing about it is that almost all these things going on, we have no ability to change. So why should we sit and get stressed out about it? Sit down and open up God's Word. Sit on the porch or sit out in the backyard in the shade of a tree or something and be quiet and listen. Pray and meditate. And then come and let us know if that doesn't make a difference in your stress level. Let me know if your self-confidence has not been enhanced. Friends, we need to take time to stop and smell the roses. We need to stop being workaholics. Rest and recreation are not a waste of time. Genuine self-esteem and self-confidence all but disappear when we're tired, when we're perpetually exhausted and worn out all the time. You look at the four Gospels at Jesus' life. He habitually took time off. He took time off even though there were more people who needed to hear the good news of the gospel and there were more people who needed to be healed of their infirmities. And even more people that needed to be saved. And even though there were more problems to be solved, Jesus took time off. Is our job more important than Christ's? Look at Mark 6 and verse 31. Mark 6, verse 31, Jesus was with his disciples. And what did he say to them? He said, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest for a while. For many are coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. Rest is so important to each of us that God even put it in the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And contrary to our popular belief, God gave this commandment as a day of rest, not worship. Look in Exodus 20 in verses 9 through 11. And tell me there what the Sabbath was for. Verse 9 gives us the command. Keep the Sabbath. Verses 10 and 11 tells us what God intended the command for. It was for to rest. And we have Christian brothers out there who believe that we need to worship on Saturday because it's the Sabbath. It was a day of rest. There was no other purpose. No other purpose was given in the Ten Commandments. And even Jesus in Mark 2 and verse 27 said that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God made it as a day of rest. But we have made it into something that God never intended. If we are not routinely taking time off, then we must not be surprised when we're stressed out. God made us in such a manner as to need a day of rest. Just one more important point before we close. We must trust and obey. One of the greatest sources of stress in our lives is to come to worship Sunday after Sunday, listening to God's word speak to us, and then refuse to obey it. We have a tendency to become hearers only and not doers of the word when we fail to obey what we know to be right. And stress will result. I know it was a little bit longer this morning than typically, but this is a very important part because we all suffer from stress. Not a single one of us is immune. But if we can sit back and we can look at the life of Christ and we can see how he dealt with the stresses in his life, we too can become like that. We can be able to reduce or maybe in a lot of ways eliminate most of the stress in our life. We just got to come to that understanding of who and whose we are. Allow him to be our guide and not let the world mold us into something else. If you are not a Christian today, if you have not obeyed the gospel, we hope and pray that today will be that decision for you. The stress that a lot of people have is whether they're going to heaven or hell. Why not make that decision today so you can take that stress out of your life? Give yourself that opportunity to grab hold of the grace that God offered and give your life to him. Give yourself a place in heaven today. Repentance, confession, and New Testament baptism, you can secure your home in heaven. And if you are a child of God, and if you've allowed the world to mold you and to create all these stresses within you, and you need to get that released through prayers, we want to give you the opportunity also. Please allow the church to pray for and with you this morning. If any has a need, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.